Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for these words that we've heard just now from your word through the mouth of Rachel, that we've heard truth spoken from the one and only God. And I thank you that when we have come to salvation, that we can have a confidence that is beyond this world. And Father, I thank you for each that are here. I thank you for the things that have been shared already and the prayers that have gone out. I thank you for each person that has been brought in this building today. I thank you, Father, that we can join together today and that we can commune, that we can partake and being reminded of why we partake. And I thank you, Father, that we do have a heavenly home that awaits us. Amen. Where we will stand in your presence and there won't need to be a sun or moon because you are the light. What a glorious day that will be. So, Father, as we expound more on the scriptures this morning, would we rejoice together with one another? And would you grow within us compassion, gentleness, patience, long-suffering, grace as we have been shown grace, and love that is not from our flesh or out from the flesh, but from the Spirit. Father, I thank you for the body, the true body, the body of Christ. And I thank you that those who have believed and put their hope and trust, because the Spirit has touched the ear in you, that we have a joining together that is complete through Christ. Help us to have peace with one another. In Jesus' name, open our ears. Amen. Well, there isn't a person for this week for a testimony, a specific one that we've been trying to do for Communion Sunday. And I am going to give you, I'm going to expound a little bit on Romans here, Romans 5. And this was just thinking through this, praying through it. Lord, what do you want to share for this Sunday? And as well, I was very blessed this morning that Diane brought up Romans 5, verse 12. As I was thinking, do I share from our Lord? Is that the direction that I go? Should I go to Romans? Because Romans 5 was my thought, first of all. I don't know if there's anyone here who's ever read Romans. I hope you have. If you haven't, I would recommend go read Romans. And if you've read it 300 times, read it 301. Romans is very beneficial. And my first walks of my first time of growth in the Lord and when I was saved, Romans was very beneficial to me. Hebrews was another book that was very beneficial to me. I mean, all of it is beneficial. But those were very pivotal things for me because Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, gave me a very great, vast outline, very short, compact of Jews and of the Hebrew people. So when you study through it, it's very helpful. I do recommend reading through all of the scriptures, as we were just encouraged to by Kathy, that we should study through the scriptures. We do need to do it. And it is very impactful. And honestly, I do believe that once a year you should be reading through the Bible. And if you're not, do it. Because you need to hear from God. You won't hear from anything outside of God. There is a prompting of the Spirit that does happen within us as Christians because we have the Spirit that indwells. But if we're not studying the Word, I am very hesitant to believe that you're hearing from God because God speaks through His Word. And He prompts us through the Spirit. So always study the scriptures. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to discern, was that God or is that Satan? That's why we need to study the word, because we need to know who's speaking to us so that we can comprehend the vastness of it. Because God is beyond our minds. We are not ones that counsel God. He is our counselor, and we can trust him. So, with testimony stuff, not just stuff, but testimonies that we've been talking about, with Romans 5, I find it very beneficial with this. And just before I start, though, is Jesse Reichman here? Do I see him? Is he here? If he is, stand up. If not, no. Okay, that's okay. I couldn't see him earlier, and I was trying to look for him, and I wasn't sure, so that's okay. If you're hiding, I will find you, Jesse. Romans 5, What Rachel read in the beginning here, it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I know we've gone through this together before. Some of you were not here for this. But we have peace with God, justified, made right, believing in what God said and is completing within a Christian. Justified by God. We have been justified by God because we have believed because of the faith, which it says right after that, by faith. We have peace with God, contentment. The gift of God is for us. We have peace with Him through our Lord Jesus Christ, which all comes through the one who was offered up on the cross. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into His grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There is nothing in this world that is comparative to what happens when someone finds salvation in Christ. There is nothing. It does not matter how much money, how whatever presentation someone tries to present you, how great some presentation was, how great a concert was. There is nothing in comparison to when a Christian finds salvation because they realize that they are no longer condemned. That is what happens in salvation. You realize that you are no longer condemned because without Christ, you are condemned. You are condemned to death. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. There is a death that awaits you after this life. We hit the grave. There is a death. There is teachings out there that has gone through the years that are very off base. We know that as well, we have Halloween that is presented often throughout all the world in Canada. I'll just say specifically Canada, where we are within our area here too at Creston. It's very prevalent, very pushed forward. But there was, and still is today, I believe too, Reformation going on. There was the reformers that went on beforehand. Martin Luther, I love his whole story. If you've never read Martin Luther, I encourage you to read Martin Luther. It is a very pivotal point for what we have today. If it was not for the reformers, for those who have gone before us, we would not be at the understanding that we have today, because we wouldn't have the scriptures the way we have them today. So the ones who went before us are very pivotal for what we have today. So don't be too critical on Martin Luther himself and some of the things that he did not fully understand yet. And we too are at the same place. So we need to make sure that we don't judge one another. Often Calvinism comes into play and they say Calvinism, 5-point Calvinism, and they start to point out all the badness to it. I don't agree with that. We need to be brothers and sisters in Christ, and peace is in the household of God. And if we don't have peace with one another, then it's not about pointing out what somebody else says. The pointing should be coming to us for us to see from the Spirit that we are at some downfall in our spiritual walk. And it's not that we're not saved, but we need to pick up and see where we need to be right before God and need to maybe change a few things in our lives. I know that there's characteristics that go on. I'm just going to read from this that I often talk about from, what is his name? Wiersbe. Sow a thought, reap an action, sow an action, reap a habit, sow a habit, reap a character. That's a hard thing to do in the flesh. So with the Spirit, it is accomplished and can be accomplished. So Romans 5 here, 5:3. More than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. We've been praying about many things through people's lives, and we can endure. Verse 4, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Ephesians as well says the Spirit is a reminder for us. It is a seal for us. The Spirit is within us when we are believers in Christ, believers in God, regenerated, changed. Justification, regeneration, sanctification all go together. Faith is within that. The grace of God is the gift of God for us that we don't deserve. But justification is a work by God that has happened through God, by God, in our lives. Regeneration is a full-on changing of life. I know some of you weren't there, but Diane did give the example of the arrow and the shot, and sin, when it comes into the world, is like trying to hit the mark and you miss the mark. You don't hit it. You don't hit it because of sin. We're all at that place. We've missed the mark, and we need Christ in order to hit the target. And the Spirit is a seal for us. And we have been stamped. I know I did that before with the bulletin. Some of you, again, were here for this. But I had seal that was a Creston Baptist seal. It worked really good. So we stamped it on the bulletins. But some of the bulletins we missed on purpose and didn't put the seal on there. And I made the joke that, oh, if you don't have the seal on your bulletin, then I guess you're not sealed by the Holy Spirit. But the bulletin does not make you sealed by God or the Holy Spirit. And the Creston Baptist stamp doesn't make you sealed by the Holy Spirit or as a reminder of a seal for you. But it is a good reminder for us to realize that we are sealed by God. There is no removing. Our sins have been paid for, past, present, and future. I think that we can often forget that. And I do not say that we should abuse grace and keep on sinning. That's not what I'm saying. But that we do have our future sins paid for because we have been called by Him and redeemed by Him. We have been justified by Him. We have been regenerated by Him. We are being sanctified by Him. It is a work fully by God, and He will bring out your attitude and your behaviors in trials, in situations, whether that be sickness, whether that be deaths in your life, whatever it may be, the Lord will bring out in your life how He wants to clean you completely. And we will never be fully completely clean because we're still in our fleshly bodies. And the only way that will happen is when we are in our heavenly bodies, as I was praying earlier too, where there is no sun or moon, because He is the light, the full light we will be with for all eternity. And whenever I think about that, I'm very flabbergasted, if you want to use that word. I'm very amazed by that. I can't imagine to be in the glory of God for all time in His presence, no sun and moon, just the light for eternity. Anyway, we'll keep going here a little bit. Verse 7, it says, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one dare even to die. But God, showing His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Put me in there. You and me. I. Put yourself in there. He died for you. If you've believed, if you've trusted in the Lord, if the blood of Christ has touched your ear to open it. Remember we talked about the priest, touch the toe of the priest. It is a cleansing. The blood of the Lord is a cleansing, as we'll partake in communion today. Verse 9, "Since therefore we have now been justified," here it is, "by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God." Justification, blood, wrath of God is no longer upon you. Romans 8, right? You get there later on after you get chapter 6 and 7. Verse 10, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life." His Son, I went back. Verse 11, "More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We have been redeemed and sanctified." Verse 12, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world because the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." Again, the free gift in verse 16. Free gift. "And the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin. For judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification." Regard as just. There is no separation. You are one in the Lord through Christ when He has redeemed you. There is no question. No one can take it from you when you've been saved by the Lord. I really do focus a lot on the blood often with it touching our ears, because if it doesn't touch you, touch your ears, you won't understand. You can hear the word of God. You could share with your neighbor 50 times and they go, well, I hear what you're saying. I believe what you're saying. But there's a believing that happens to the one who has been regenerated by the Lord. You believe. You can hear things and go, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But until the Spirit of God does a work and how all that interacts and the flesh and the believing and all those things, we do know when we can hold to that the Spirit of God enlightens us to understand the gospel, and then there is a work that is fully completed beyond our ability. And when that happens, there is great joy and we should rejoice with one another. But it's never ending because there is an ongoing process. We may get saved here, but then there's an ongoing. That's why whenever I talk about testimonies too, we have a testimony of our first salvation, but then there still is a whole life. Many of you, there's many here, I'm sure, that are over 40 years old, or over 50 years old, or over 30 years old, or over 70 even. I'll stop there. But been in the Lord for many years. It's an ongoing process. And when we sit stagnant and think, I've read the Bible, I've read half the Bible, I'm good, and I understood salvation, I'm good, and now I don't read the Bible as much, it's not helpful for you. I know I talked about last week too, I said, whenever you study the scriptures, or when you don't study the scriptures, and I asked this question again too, do you ever feel, I'm going a little bit off feelings, just a little bit, but whenever you don't spend time in the Word, you kind of feel chaotic and your mind feels a little flustered. You'll get into situations and you're not fully content. It's a good reminder to read the Word. You need to study through. It is very important. You need to make time to do it. And don't let Satan deceive you that you don't need to make time to do it or that your life is too busy. I've done it many times. It's a foolish thought to not study the Scriptures. It will not be helpful, because when you get into situations, you're going to have answers from the Lord just from studying the Scriptures. So study them. Study them well. Verse 16, and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive abundance of grace and free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. I want to read the last of 21 here. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The only way, and I'm sure you've heard this and said it to yourself many times, the only way to the Lord is through Christ. There is no other way around it. You cannot sneak in. You can't sneak over the fence. You can try, but you won't enter the kingdom. Romans is very beneficial for the spiritual walk. When you go on to chapter 6, it will speak volumes to your life. And there's maybe some here that have never read it. And I recommend that you go home today and you study through it. Study through Romans. Engross yourself in it. There are as many books in the Bible, but engross yourself in Romans. The Gospels are important too, and that's where we're going to be going next in our studies on Sunday. But study through Romans as a new Christian, or even questioning. Study through them. You will find life in Christ. Stan won't be with us for communion today, so I know we've prayed with Stan, for Stan, in spirit. Charlie did. But I would like to pray for Stan and Gail. I know that he's got a pretty heavy task in his life right now and a different season. I know others have gone through this season before. And I just want to diligently pray for him and then close in prayer too, and then we'll in this time and then move to communion together. And then after we pray, all the men can come up that are helping. So let's just bow our heads and pray for Stan and Gail. Father, I just thank you that we do have justification and that we have been justified when we are in you. I thank you that I have gotten to know Stan in the time that I have. I thank you for the time that I've gotten to know Gail at a much different season in her life, that I've gotten to know her and my family as well to the extent that we have. And I know Stan has mentioned a few things within praying for him, four different areas within his situation and with Gail and the season that they're at. And I just ask that Stan would love his wife in ways that he never even thought that he could. And that Gail, in the state that she is, would remember the scriptures, that she would remember her seal. But even if it goes to the extreme that there is not much of a memory there, we can be confident as Christians that there is a seal for us. And that we have a home that awaits us, and that our minds and our bodies and everything will be complete and will not feel pain any longer. So I just ask that your spirit would give Stan strength today and Gail, and that they would get the answers that they need, and even answers that they have not even thought about or thought that they needed, that those answers would be revealed to them and that they would see them. And if there is anyone in the midst of them that Stan knows that he needs to share the gospel with, would you give him boldness and words to speak? And if our life is just that one would hear and be saved, so be it. And if there is many, then so be it. But let us be a light. Let Stan be a light in Gail as they go through this in the medical field, in Cranbrook. And help us to be a light in our community. And Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that we can read through Romans and we can see that we are justified when we have new life in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all the men that are helping with communion, if you would come up. Yes, please sit. Sorry. I don't know if everyone, if you've ever got this way and you felt, I'm going off of feelings again, but if you've ever come to the place of and you start to think, we always do this, or every Sunday. There are some congregations that do it every Sunday, not just once a month. And it can become a tradition within man to do different things a certain way. But this itself is a good tradition in the eyes of the Lord, because it brings us back to remembrance of him. So whether we do it once a month, whether we do it once a week, whether we do it anytime we're with our brothers and sisters in Christ and we enter their home, whatever it may be, it is a reminder of the work that he has done for us. And it really does too. We should be checking to see, do we understand it? Do we understand the faith that we have? Are we living the faith that we're living? There are reminders that come up there for us. So don't think of it as a waste of time. It is beneficial. And I want to say again, I know we do have our kids that are joining us. I know if there's any, but on the children part, if you as a parent see that you think that it is salvation, that they've grasped and understood salvation, and you see that you know for a parent to give, to let them partake of this, that's on you as a parent to do so. But you need to make sure that you know and make sure that you're making the decision that is right before God and letting them partake on the portion of this as well that they believe. Because as I've said before with ones that are non-Christians, do not partake in this because you're not a part of the body of Christ. But if you are a part of the body of Christ, partake. And if you're not a Christian, then sit with us and watch what we do and how we distribute, how we hand it off to one another, how we join together in such a way. But don't partake if you're not a Christian. But if you are, please do partake. I'm going to join these men today to hand out. But I know that we've all had different ways that we do and partake of this and do in our own minds and have our own set plays that we go about. But I want to remind again, giving you lots of reminders, and that it shouldn't just be today that we start thinking about this and start really praying. We should be doing this throughout the week in prayer. We should be praying throughout the week. This is reminders to bring us back to what Christ has done, just like what happened with the Jews all throughout the years. They needed reminders for them when they left the land and when they celebrated the Passover. It was a reminder of what God had done for them. And we need that and did for them. And we need that. We need those reminders for us because we are forgetful. And today, we're being reminded of what Christ has done for us, his body that was given and his blood that was shed. And when we have had it touch us and cover us, we are complete. All right. We'll read through this in a few minutes, but can I get everyone to stand with me? And then our other mic. That's okay. I'm going to pray, and then Jeff, would you pray over the bread, and would you mind Charlie praying over the wine? Thank you. I'm just going to pray first, and then, all right. Father, I just thank you for these men who have gathered here now to help us distribute, and I just thank you for the reminder of the work of Christ for us.
God, we just come to you today as a body of believers, remembering what you have done for us on the cross, remembering your body that was broken for us, Father, to give us the gift of everlasting life with you. And Lord, I pray that through this, that you would just remind us of that. Lord, that you would take us back from where our minds might wander, Lord, and remember what you've done for us. Remember why we are here. And Lord, that we would worship you in this. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Give you thanks, Father, for sending your Son to die on the cross for us, to shed his blood for me and for each of us in this room. Lord, you did it to cleanse us, and all of our past is gone because of what you've done. I just want to thank you as we take this cup as remembrance to thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks. says in Luke 22, "And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, which we have here with us, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And as Jeff has already prayed, we too rejoice together and we thank the Lord. Let's partake together. And then as Charlie has prayed as well over the cup. And then it says in verse 20, "And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" Let's partake together of blood. There is a reminder here afterwards too, and just a presentation for us to think about too. It says in verse 21, "But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me at the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. I always find that interesting too, when it was Judas who betrayed him. We know that. The one who was set in play to do so. But he partook with them. He was there with them in the midst of it when they were together. But that as well, I love the disciples that they, and you can read through the rest of the Gospels too, they question themselves. Is it I? Am I the one? So I thank the Lord for the Spirit and the Spirit's work in our life. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you again for this morning. I thank you for this time that we've had together in hearing prayers that people have lifted up to you, and we've gathered together and we've interceded on others' behalf before you, the Father. And I thank you that you have heard us and you have not forgotten us. I thank you for the breaking of bread and the cup that we get to partake in. I thank you for everyone who has given of themselves this day in this service now and in the service that we had beforehand. And what a blessing it is to gather together as brothers and sisters. And let us never forget the need for it. Let us never think that we need to not have it, but to be reminded that we need the joining together to remind us of the work of you and what you have completed through your Son and the forming of the body. And we are the body. So thank you, Father. Thank you for the work of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks.
Stand with us as we sing, please.
The blood of Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the heart. From day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows through the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day.
Verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Go in peace.